Brief by Niggle.
Once upon a time, somewhere in the world, there was, and maybe still is, a tree of tales. And there are men who have spent a lifetime collecting and studying its leaves. The patterns, from bud to unfolding, and the colours from spring to autumn, were all discovered by men long ago. Each leaf of oak and ash and thorn is a unique embodiment of the pattern, and for some, this very year may be the embodiment, the first ever seen and recognised, though oaks have put forth leaves for countless generations. This is a leaf from that tree of tales. It is the story of a little man called
Niggle.
And sooner or later, Niggle has a long journey to make.
I really don't want to go. In fact, the whole thing is quite distasteful to me.
But it is one of those things you just can't get out of.
I know I'll have to start sometime, but I'm just not in any particular hurry to make preparations.
The thing is, Niggle is a painter, though not a very successful one. Partly because he has so many other things to do.
Exactly. Any number of things. And they're such a nuisance.
Nevertheless, he does them fairly well, when he cannot get out of them.
Which, in my opinion, is far too often. The fact is, if I don't get things done, it's because I'm too kind-hearted.
Especially towards his neighbour.
Mr. Parrish.
I don't suppose you could do something for me, Niggle.
As always, this is awkward for Niggle.
Yes, of course.
After all, he is your neighbour.
And you do have a bicycle.
Yes.
You do.
Which I don't, and which I couldn't ride anyway, having as I do a lame leg.
Yes.
Which he does. A genuine lame leg.
That gives me a great deal of pain.
Yes.
Now and again, remembering his journey, Niggle packs a few things in an ineffectual way. At such times, he doesn't paint very much.
Which is a nuisance, because for some while now, I've had a number of pictures on hand.
Most, a critic would say, are too large and ambitious for his skill.
The thing is, I'm the sort of painter who can paint leaves better than trees. I might spend a long time on a single leaf, trying to catch its shape and its sheen and the glistening of dewdrops on its edges. And yet I also want to paint a whole tree, with all its leaves in the same style, and all of them different.
Which brings us to this picture.
The picture.
The picture which is particularly bothering him.
It began with a leaf caught in the wind, and it became a tree. And the tree grew, sending out innumerable branches, thrusting out the most fantastic roots. Strange birds came and settled on the twigs and had to be attended to. Then all around the tree and behind it, through the gaps in the leaves and the boughs, a country began to open out, and there were glimpses of forest marching over the land and of mountains tipped with snow.
As for his other pictures...
Well, I've as good as lost interest in them, except for one or two, which I tack onto the edges of my great picture, making the canvas larger. In fact, so large, I had to build this shed for it in the garden. Using a ladder, I ran up and down, putting in a touch here, rubbing out a patch there. Thing is, I don't quite know what I think about it. What I'd really like is to see myself walk into this shed, slap me on the back and say, with obvious sincerity, "Absolutely magnificent! I can see exactly what you're getting at. Do get on with it, and don't bother about anything else. We'll arrange a public pension for you so you can just concentrate on your wonderful picture."
A nice thought, but unlikely.
Yes. The important thing is to finish this picture. That is going to take a great deal of uninterrupted work.
My dear Niggle, you'll be sorry to learn that I have been taken suddenly ill. Please come as soon as possible. I realise it's a long way for you to travel, but I'm really far from well.
Notice is hereby given that you are summoned to attend for jury service, commencing on Monday next.
Since the court's time is extremely valuable, you will please be prompt.
We thought we might have a day out in the country on Wednesday and take you up on your invitation of some years ago to have tea with you.
This is to advise you that a plumber will be calling to effect repairs to your cistern on Thursday fortnight. This will require your water to be turned off for a period of between 2 and 6 hours. Please arrange to be at the above property to admit our engineer.
I don't know what to do. This is my only real picture, and I've simply got to get on with it before I have to go on this wretched journey.
Now autumn's coming on, the light's beginning to go. There's so much to get onto the canvas. I want to catch the gleam of the westering sun on the peak of that snow mountain I've glimpsed, just to the left of the leafy tips of one of those branches out there. Drat! What is it now? Come in! Ah, Parrish.
Hello, Niggle.
Come in, Parrish.
The first thing you'll say is something about the state of my garden.
I've never seen so many weeds. Don't you ever do any gardening?
I never seem to get the time.
Well, it's none of my business, of course. Except I do feel I have a neighbourly duty to point out that your garden does lower the standards. Still, I dare say that all that painting business takes up a lot of your time. I can't say I see anything in it myself.
Which is probably because he never bothers to look at my painting.
It's just a lot of black lines and green and grey patches. There's not for me to say.
What is it, Parrish?
Well, I oughtn't to interrupt you, I know, but my wife has been ill for some days and I'm getting worried.
Oh, I am sorry.
And the wind has blown half the tiles off my roof and water is pouring into the bedroom.
Dear, dear, you are unlucky.
I think I ought to fetch the doctor, but with this lame leg. And I ought to call out the builders too, only they take so long to come. I was wondering... if you had any wooden canvas you could spare.
He must have noticed the painting at last.
Just to patch me up and see me through for a day or two.
I'm afraid I haven't, but I do hope it's no more than a cold that your wife's got. I'll come round presently and help you move the patient downstairs.
Thank you very much, but it is not a cold. It is a fever. From the way you keep fiddling with that paintbrush, I can see you're busy. Sorry to have troubled you. I had rather hoped you might be able to spare the time to go for the doctor, seeing how I'm placed. Oh, and the builder too, if you really have no canvas you can spare.
Of course, I could go. I mean, I will go, if you're really worried.
I am worried, very worried. Yeah,
I said I'll go.
Only if you're quite sure you don't mind.
Quite sure, Parrish.
Oh... I wish I was more strong-minded.
By which he means that, like all of us, he wishes other people's troubles didn't make him feel uncomfortable.
Curse this rain!
Not a good day for a bicycle ride.
And no more work today either. And there's that picture waiting. And barely time to finish it. And I've just thought how I could paint that distant vision of the mountain with a spray of leaves beside it. Except that by the time I get back, I'll have forgotten. Oh, well, on we go. Except that the doctor will probably be out, and the builders will probably be closed, and I'll probably end up catching a chill.
And, of course, Niggle is proved absolutely right.
Well now, Niggle, how are we today?
I'm...
No talking, please. Just pop this under your tongue. Feeling hot?
Mm-hmm.
Throat dry?
Mm-hmm.
Aching limbs?
Oh.
As I expected. Any odd sensations? Peculiar dreams?
Only the leaves, huh?
Hang on. Yes?
Oh, only the leaves, Doctor.
Leaves?
They're so beautiful. Leaves and branches all over the ceiling and inside my head.
You have a fever.
Wonderful, marvellous patterns.
Keep warm and stay in bed.
Mrs. Parrish? How is Mrs. Parrish?
Nothing serious, just a cold. She's fine. Good day.
Oh.
Turning his face to the wall, Niggle loses himself in...
Leaves. Limbs and branches. Boughs and twigs. And leaves. Green and yellow gold, turning, curling, falling, unfurling in the wind.
And the wind goes on blowing and blowing. taking away more of Parrish's tiles and some of Niggle's as well.
I wonder if the builder's been, or if he's still to come. Perhaps I ought to get up and see. I suppose I should try and get myself some food. Except I don't think I can be bothered. I really ought to go and find out what's happened to the parishes.
And he returns to his leaf-filled dream. While next door, at the parishes...
Obviously that Mr. Niggle forgot to call at the builder's.
How typical of him. Mm. And has he been around to see how we are?
No.
No. There's you getting over a severe illness.
Yes.
And there's me with the rain having got into my legs so that it aches like a nagging tooth.
And here we are spending each and every day mopping up water. Mm. He hasn't even had the decency to come round and see if there's anything he can do to help.
Typical.
A week goes by. The wind eventually drops, and so does Niggle's temperature. He totters out to the shed and sits in front of his painting, looking at the tree.
Oh, I might just add a few brushstrokes to that far-off view of a sandy desert over there, beyond the hills. If I can only summon up enough energy to get up that ladder. Oh, I feel quite giddy. Oh, how am I ever going to finish this tree? Damn and blast! Come! In.
Niggle?
I'm Niggle, yes?
I am inspector of houses.
Oh.
Your neighbour's house is not satisfactory at all.
I know. I went to the builders, but they were shut. So I left a note, but they've never come. Then I've been ill.
But you are not ill now. You should have helped your neighbour to make temporary repairs. That is the law. There's plenty of material here. Canvas, wood, waterproof paint.
My picture?
I dare say it is. But houses come first. That is the law.
But I can't.
Are you ready?
Me?
Yes, you.
What do you mean, ready?
Oh, come along, I'm the driver.
Driver of what?
You and your transportation. You start today on your journey, you know.
There now. You'll have to go. But it's a bad way to start on a journey, leaving your jobs undone. Still, we can at least make use of this canvas now.
Oh, dear. But the tree, it's not even finished.
Not finished? Well, it's finished with, as far as you're concerned, at any rate.
Now, come along.
But I've not finished packing.
Oh, there's no time for that. You should have done that before.
Can I take this bag here?
If you want. Only hurry up or we'll miss the train.
No time to finish the picture. No time to pack. This bag isn't going to be a lot of use. Just a paint box and a small book of sketches. Perhaps I won't need anything where I'm going. Thing is, I've forgotten where I am supposed to be going. Or what I'm going for. Oh, I'm so tired. Where am I?
Oh, there you are. Niggle!
Yes?
Come along there.
Luggage?
I've only got one bag. Oh, no. I left it on the train.
No luggage. You'll have to go to the workhouse. This way.
Well, come along.
I don't think I can go anywhere. I feel rather faint.
I
I have prescribed medication. It must be taken without fail.
Here, drink this.
Oh, it's horrid.
You're not required to like it.
I'm changing your medication three twice daily. Any remarks?
I should like to go outside.
You're not allowed outside.
It's more like being in prison than in hospital. I should like a room with a window that looked out.
All windows look inwards.
But it's so dark.
It's better for thinking.
So, Niggle thinks.
Wish I'd called on Parrish the first morning after the high winds began. I meant to. The first loose tiles would have been easy to fix. Then Mrs. Parrish might never have caught cold. Then I should not have caught cold either. Then I should have had a week longer. Week longer for what? It was something that seemed important at the time. What was it now?
You are now ready for work. Hours will be set for you and you will be given your tasks shortly.
Take this saw and start sawing.
Yes, sir.
Take this spade and start digging.
Yes, sir.
Your hours have been changed.
But what work am I to do now?
The same. Digging. Continue.
Plain digging. Day after day. Digging until my hands are raw. And it feels as if my back is broken. I cannot manage another spadeful!
Knock off!
Complete rest. In the dark.
Niggle is lying in the dark. He doesn't know how long he's been here. He might have been lying here for hours. Or for years. And then he hears the voices.
Now, the Niggle case.
That's a severe-sounding voice.
It is.
What was the matter with Niggle?
That's gentler.
But not soft.
A voice of authority.
What was the matter with him? His heart was in the right place.
Yes, but it did not function properly. Look at the time he wasted. I think he should stay some time yet.
Let us look at the record. Yes. Yes, there are some favourable points, you know. He was a painter by nature, and a leaf by Niggle has a charm of its own. But he never thought that that made him important. There is no note in the records of his pretending, even to himself, that it excused his neglect of things ordered by the law.
Then he should not have neglected so many.
All the same, he did answer a good many calls.
Small percentage, mostly of the easier sort, and he called those interruptions.
True, but they looked like interruptions to him, of course. And there is this. He never expected any return, as so many of his sort call it. There is the Parrish case, the one that came in later. He was Niggle's neighbour. Never did a stroke for him, and seldom showed any gratitude at all. But there is no note in these records that Niggle expected Parrish's gratitude. He does not seem to have thought about it.
Yes, that's a point, but rather small. I think you will find Niggle often merely forgot.
Still, there is this last report. That wet bicycle ride. I rather lay stress on that. It seems plain that this was a genuine sacrifice. Niggle guessed that he was throwing away his last chance with his picture.
It's your task, of course, to put the best interpretations on the facts. What do you propose?
I think it is a case for a little gentle treatment now.
Oh, dear.
You've been listening, Niggle?
Yes.
Well, what have you to say?
Could you tell me about Parrish? I should like to see him again. I hope he's not very ill. Can you cure his leg? It used to give him a wretched time. And please, don't worry about him and me. He was a very good neighbour and let me have excellent potatoes, very cheap.
Did he? Glad to hear it.
Well?
I agree. Let him go on to the next stage. Tomorrow, if you like.
Niggle wakes up to find that his blinds are drawn and his little cell is full of...
sunshine.
Getting up, he finds, instead of the hospital uniform...
a set of comfortable clothes.
Better get dressed. It's almost...
breakfast time.
And after breakfast...
the doctor will see you now.
I'm going to put this ointment on your hands.
How long before the soreness goes?
It's gone already.
So it has.
Now I'm going to give you this bottle of tonic in case you need it. And a word or two of advice.
That is private between her and Niggle.
And finally, here's your ticket.
This way.
A pleasant little local train. One coach and a small engine, both very bright and clean. It almost looks newly painted.
Of course.
The sleepers give off a delicious smell of fresh tar in the warm sunshine.
Of course.
Even the track seems new.
It looks as if it's on its first run.
Of course.
Where does this train go, Porter?
I don't think they've fixed its name yet, but you'll find it all right.
They puff along through a deep cutting with high green banks, roofed with a blue sky. And before long...
no station.
No signboard.
Only a flight of steps up an embankment.
Leading to a wicket gate in a trim hedge. And by the gate stands Niggle's bicycle.
At least it looks like my bicycle.
Well, there's a yellow label tied to the handlebars on which in large black letters is written...
Niggle!
So hop on.
And off we go!
Bowling downhill in the spring sunshine. Over close green turf.
I seem to remember having seen or dreamed of this place somewhere or other. The curves of the land are familiar somehow. Yes! The ground is becoming level, as it should, and now, of course, it's beginning to rise again.
A great green shadow comes between him and the sun. Niggle looks up and... falls off his bicycle. Before him stands...
the tree.
His tree.
Finished.
If you can say that of a tree that is alive, its leaves opening, its branches growing and bending, he gazes at the tree. And slowly he lifts his arms and opens them wide.
It's a gift. All the leaves I ever labored at are here.
As he had imagined them, rather than as he had made them.
And there are others that only ever budded in my mind. Well, well...
and some of the most perfect examples of the Niggle style can be seen to have been produced in collaboration with...
Parrish.
It may be surprising.
But there's no other way of putting it.
The birds are building in the tree.
Astonishing birds.
Mating.
Hatching.
Growing wings.
And flying away, singing. Into the forest. And the mountains, glimmering far away, except they do not seem to belong to the picture.
As for the tree, that is finished, though not finished with. It just needs...
continuing.
Up to a definite point.
And I see that point precisely. The question is, where to begin work?
And where to end it.
And how much time is required?
And the one other thing that you need...
of course. Parrish. What I need is Parrish. This place cannot be left just as my private park. I need help. And advice. Oh, I ought to have got it sooner.
When he notices, down in a little sheltered hollow, a man leaning on a spade and looking round, rather bewildered.
Parrish!
Niggle! You're still limping.
Oh, a little. Oh, this is grand. I oughtn't to be here, really. Thanks for putting in a word for me.
Nonsense. I don't remember what I said. But anyway, it was not nearly enough.
Oh, yes, it was. It got me out a lot sooner. That second voice, you know, he had me sent here. He said you had asked to see me. I owe it to you.
No. You owe it to the second voice. We both do.
I suppose so. But this really is grand. Oh, wonderful trees. Especially that one. That great tree. It's almost as if I'd seen it before somewhere. I can't remember where. Oh, these little yellow flowers among the roots. Were they your idea?
Well, perhaps not my idea, but we ought to get started.
So they do. It would be no use denying that to begin with they occasionally disagreed, especially when they got tired.
Oh, I've never felt so tired in my life. A tonic. That's what we need. They gave me a bottle.
Me too.
A few drops to be taken...
in water from the spring before resting.
Of course. The spring.
A few drops of the tonic made the water?
Astringent.
Rather bitter.
But wonderfully invigorating.
It really clears the head.
And I seem to have less pain in my bad leg. I feel almost ready for anything.
Well, I've got some wonderful new flowers and plants in mind.
You have?
Yes, but I need you to decide how to set them and where they'll do best.
So they begin. And what soon becomes plain is that Niggle is now the better of the two at ordering his time and getting things done.
It's odd, but I'm the one most absorbed in building the house and planning the garden.
Well, quite often I just wander about looking at the trees and especially the tree.
At last their work seems to be drawing to an end. Then they allow themselves more and more time for walking about, looking at the trees and flowers.
The lights and the shapes.
And the lie of the land.
But more and more often, Niggle turned his eyes towards...
the mountains.
We shall finish this evening. And seeing as my limp has now gone completely... I think we should go for a really long walk.
Yes. The great tree is in blossom now.
They walk and walk and walk until they come right through the distances to...
the edge. It's not visible, I know. There's no line or fence or wall, but this is the edge. The farthest margin of this country.
You're right. And someone from whatever country it borders appears to be coming to meet us. See? There, walking down the grass slopes that lead up into the mountains.
She looks like a shepherd.
Good day to you both. Do you want a guide? Do you want to go on? Well?
Parish?
I must wait for my wife. She'd be lonely. I'd rather gather that they would send her after me sometime or other, when she was ready. I hope she'll like this country, too. Could you tell me the name of this country?
Don't you know? It is Niggle's country. It is Niggle's picture, or most of it. A little of it is now Parish's garden.
Niggle's picture? Did you think of all this, Niggle? Well, why didn't you tell me?
He tried to tell you a long time ago, but you wouldn't look. He'd only got canvas and paint in those days, and you wanted to mend your roof with them.
But it did not look like this then. Not real.
No, it was only a glimpse then. But you might have caught the glimpse, if you'd ever thought it worthwhile to try.
I did not give you much chance. I never tried to explain. But what does it matter? We have lived and worked together now. Things might have been different, but they couldn't have been better. All the same, I'm afraid I shall have to go on.
Yes.
We shall meet again, I expect. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Niggle.
Turning for a moment, he looks back.
Just one last look at the great tree.
Its blossoms shining like flame, birds flying around it and singing. Then, with a smile and a nod to Parrish, he goes on his way. He is going to learn about sheep and the high pastures and look at a wider sky and walk ever further and further towards the mountains, always uphill. Beyond that, I cannot guess what will become of him. For a short time after Niggle's departure from the country where he used to live, he is the subject of some small discussion.
I think he was a silly little man, worthless in fact, no use to society at all.
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Tompkins. Of course, you are a counsellor and I'm just a schoolmaster and therefore nobody of importance, but I think it depends on what you mean by use.
No practical or economic use. I dare say, Atkins, he could have been made into a serviceable cog of some sort if you schoolmasters knew your business, but you don't. And so we get useless people of his sort. If I ran this country, I'd have put him away long ago.
You mean made him start on the journey before his time?
If you must use that meaningless old expression, push him through the tunnel into the great rubbish heap, that's what I mean.
Then you don't think painting is worth anything?
Not his. Private daydreaming. Always fiddling with leaves and flowers. I asked him why once. He said he thought they were pretty. Can you believe it, silly footler?
Aye. Well, his canvases have been put to better uses since he went. But I'm not so sure, Mrs. Tompkins. You remember that large one, the one they used to patch the damaged house next door to his after the gales and floods? I found a corner of it, torn off, lying in a field. It was damaged, but legible. A mountain peak and a spray of leaves. I can't get it out of my mind.
Out of your what?
Who were you two talking about?
The name's not worth repeating. He didn't live in town.
No, but you had your eye on his house all the same. That's why you used to go and call and sneer at him while drinking his tea. Well, you've got it now. So you needn't grudge him his name, if you want to know, Perkins. We were talking about Niggle.
Oh, poor little Niggle. I never knew he painted.
And that will probably be the last time Niggle's name will ever come up in conversation. However, Atkins preserves that odd corner. In time, most of it crumbles. But one beautiful leaf remains intact. Atkins has it framed and later gives it to the town museum. For a long while, Leaf by Niggle hangs there in a recess and is noticed by a few eyes.
Charming.
Whimsical daubing.
Delightful.
Time-wasting scribble.
Exquisite.
Footling nonsense.
Eventually, however, the museum is burned down and the Leaf and Niggle are entirely forgotten in his old country. But elsewhere, he is remembered.
It is proving very useful indeed, as a holiday and a refreshment. It is splendid for convalescence. It is the best introduction to the mountains. I'm sending more and more there. They seldom have to come back.
No, that is so. I think we shall have to give the region a name. What do you propose?
The porter settled that some time ago.
Oh?
The train for Niggle's Parish in the Bay. He has shouted that for a long while now. Niggle's Parish. I sent a message to both of them to tell them.
What did they say?
They both laughed. Laughed! The mountains rang with it.